Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. So here's a loaded question for you. Are you ready? What ties your gut up in knots? What ties you up in knots? Is it conflict? Is it falling short on a task? Is it your kids? Your finances? Well, believe it or not, we all have those parts in our lives that tangle us up. You know, we have trigger points. We're going to talk today about how to get untangled and find peace and joy right here in the midst of our current life circumstances. So often we feel that we have to get relief from our circumstances to get untangled, right, from that stuff that just ties us up. But Jesus does promise us peace in all circumstances. So we're going to talk to Carrie Scott today. We welcome her back to the show to talk about her book, Untangled, Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. In the second hour, we'll hear from Jerry Trousdale of City Team International. We're welcoming him back to the program to have a unique conversation. We're going to talk about what it means to have kingdom passion, how to be united as believers in Christ, because you know what often gets in the way of different ministries? Competition, territorialism, ambition, all these things get in the way of the Great Commission. We're going to talk about how do you sort out your motivations, your desire to be fruitful with your desire to be successful, maybe at someone else's expense. And we're just going to have an interesting conversation and see where the Lord takes us. Okay, my first hour guest today writes this. She says, the world will always look for ways to knock you down. The enemy will always try to defeat you. And often your own thought life will keep you in bondage. But God is ready to untangle it all. Are you ready to? I'm done giving Satan freedom to wreak havoc on my self-esteem. I'm done feeling like I'll never be good enough. I'm done giving power to the people he has used to hurt me. Done with situations meant to destroy me. Done with all the devil he's unleashed on my life. I'm done, done, done. Don't you love that? How about you? Are you ready to be done with it? Ready to shake your shackles off and dance to that song that God sings over you? Well, know this, if there's a restlessness in your soul, it's in that very place that God wants to bring rest and restoration, and you can trust him. So my question again is, in what area of life are you feeling most tangled up right now? All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Carrie Scott is an author, speaker, and certified Bible life coach who challenges women to be real, not perfect, even when real is messy. She speaks to women's groups and writes an online devotional designed to help women to be who God created them to be. She lives in Colorado with her husband and their two children. You can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Carrie, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Susie, great to be here.
Well, tell me this. Is there a passage of scripture that you've been camping on these days that you can share with us?
Oh, I tell you what, I have been camping indeed. And this is where I've landed, and it's so on my heart right now to share with your listeners, and I'm excited because I'm seeing God work this out. So let me read it to you. I'm reading Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. It says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from your captivity."
Talk about that passage, what it means to you, Carrie.
Well, I have had a week. I don't know if anybody else has had a week, but I have had a really hard week. I have had things come at me I did not see coming. And so often, when my insecurities get flared up or when I start to feel the fear of, I don't know how to handle this, I don't know how to respond, I don't know what to do, I try everything in my human strength to fix it. And I mean, it can be from, you know, piling it all on a friend to finding comfort in food to camping out and hiding from everybody to unleashing on my family. I mean, it can come out in all different ways. And what I'm really trying to learn and to steward well is this idea, this concept, this promise that if we reach out in that hurt, in the insecurity, in that fear, and whatever it is that's tangling us up, and we reach out to God and we say, help me, let me see where you are in this, show me where you are, he will be found. And this, I've actually seen this walk out so many times in my life, but just in a profound way this past week.
And you make such a good point, Carrie, because as I said at the open, so often we think the only way to get untangled is to get our circumstances untangled. And though we want to seek resolution to things that maybe tie us up in knots, that's not the answer, because otherwise we're going to go from one angst to the next, seeking only relief. But there's something deeper that God wants us to seek in the midst of it all, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, it just compounds. I mean, it just is, it becomes a mess upon mess upon mess upon mess. And then I'm standing there at the end of me, completely broken, when God is saying, seek me. Carrie, if you just seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And I'm going to bring you back from your captivity, because those insecurities, those fears, those not good enoughs, those are that's captivity. That is bondage for us. And he makes it so simple. Seek me, give me those burdens, talk to me, invite me into your mess, and I will free you.
So you don't have to tell us what's gone on this week. And by the way, it's only Tuesday. So when it's been a week, you
right?
know, it's been a week. If it's only Tuesday, I feel for you, hon. But okay. So tell us this, what are some tangible ways God was found by you in a way that met you right in the midst of the stuff you're dealing with right now?
Oh, that's good. So here's what I do. I'm a very verbal person. And so I remember when it was this weekend when something hit me really hard, and I was so taken aback by it. And I remember sitting in my chair, my comfy, wonderful chair, just going, Lord, I need you to show up. God, bring peace to my heart. Bring peace to my heart. Lord, bring peace to my heart. Give me perspective. Give me discernment. Lord, close my mouth, because I want to do things and say things that are not godly. And I want to defend myself, defend my name. And I just started speaking out what it was that I needed from him, and just speaking them out, and just, you know, even over and over, just repeating it. And it was really interesting to see how I just kind of settled down a little bit. My heart settled down, my heartbeat settled down. I felt this calming sense come over me, and I still was hurting and I still had work to do, but it kind of gave me a reprieve from the shock, I guess.
Wow. That's a very tangible answer. And that's how we do it, in the places of those crises where we seek and we find refuge in him. And I don't know if this helps you, Carrie, but one of my go-to verses in such times is Psalm 62:7, and it says, my salvation and my honor depend on God alone. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. And you think about it, if we can trust him with our eternity, we can trust him with our honor. He will defend our honor, and he's the place we stand, but he's also the place we hide. And I do pray that encourages you today, because boy, it is a dog eat dog world out there. So
It is, for sure. And that does encourage me. And what I'm learning to do is my first response, and all of us, I mean, when we all get dinged by life, our first response is to go out and defend ourselves and defend our name and defend our reputation and defend, you know, whatever it is that's come under attack, or where we're fearful or insecure. But, you know, the Bible talks about how he defends our name. He is our defender. And so even just turning that over to him and say, I just trust you with my heart, with my name, with my circumstance, with my situation. I trust your voice in the person that's hurt me and in myself. And you just are basically speaking out the truths in his word, and you're standing in agreement with them.
Wow, so good. Okay, well, if you don't mind, in the opening of your book, Untangled, you're very transparent about something that happened when you were a little girl that truly shaped your view of life and of people. Would you be okay with sharing some of that story with us?
Absolutely. I write in the opening of my book a letter to the man who molested me. And I was 4 years old. I was this innocent, bright-eyed, everything's wonderful, adults are safe kind of kid. And as I left the apartment, we were living in an apartment at the time, and it was a stranger, somebody I did not know. And when I walked out the doors of the apartment that he had brought me into, my whole life had changed. There was an incident of sexual abuse, and as if that wasn't bad enough, as I was leaving, he kind of got down to eye level and looked in my eyes, and he said, "You are bad, and you're dirty, and you'll never be worth anything." Mm. And so being four, you believe adults. And so I internalized that truth. And because I was told I'd be in trouble because this was my fault, I didn't even tell my parents until I was 12. So that's, 8 years, if I did my math right, 8 years of that message of worthlessness to take root deep inside my value system, my DNA, my self-worth. And I began to operate in that belief.
Wow. In such formative years for you to believe that lie. Did your parents pick up on something that had changed in those 8 years? Did they ask about changes, or how did that go?
I don't remember. I mean, I think every mother will notice changes. I've seen things in my kids, and I've missed things that have actually been going on with them, a bully situation that I also write about in this book, because the changes that I saw were subtle and could be explained in other things, So I think as parents, we're always looking at our kids, always on aware and have a heightened sense of concern. But I don't remember that per se. But I'm certain, knowing my parents, that they saw something and maybe just didn't know what it was.
Hmm. One of my questions was going to be, what are some of the lies that got planted in your heart during that? Well, obviously, a straight-on, bold-faced lie is what he spoke over you. But how did you process that for the 8 years of not telling anybody? And what other lies did you pick up as far as just trying to process it in that, your precious little mind? Can you remember back to any other lies other than feeling utterly worthless?
I think the other one that really partnered with the worthless was that I was just not ever going to be good enough. Mm. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how hard I tried. It didn't matter where my heart was in the situation. It just was not going to be enough. And I think those two lies partner so well together.
Yeah.
And so as I grew up, I realized, looking back, because you're in it, it's just what I knew. I mean, that's my earliest memory, is that. So that's just what it was. And I didn't really know at that time that it wasn't normal because it's, I was 4 years old. And so I look at the decisions I made and the way I felt and how I responded to things, choices that I made. And I realized I really was looking through this lens at my life of worthlessness, and you're never going to be good enough. Why are you even trying? And so it's sobering to look back and realize what you might have missed in life because you didn't see the value and the worth that you had.
And you sure can understand, Carrie, why in your situation you wouldn't. You're riding a bike, this wretched man takes you. I mean, it's so unbelievable. One of the things you wrote in that letter to him is, "Do you even remember what you did to me, or was I one of many?" I mean, that was so gripping. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, but God knows. God remembers. God is a God of justice. He hasn't looked the other way, and he's going to mete out justice. He is. And wow, just stunning to me. Anyway, we've got to take a break. When we come back, I would love for you to talk about how God has taken you through the healing process, how he untangled the lies that bound you up from that trauma. And I love, Carrie, that God is using you to help other people get untangled. And that's, I think, the best thing we can do with our trauma is turn the table on the enemy, make him sorry he ever messed with us, and help others find healing. And that's what you're doing. Just beautiful. Talking to Carrie Scott. We've got 4 copies of her book, Untangled. You got a question? You want to chime in? Can we pray for you? We'd sure love to do that. You can even call anonymously. If you need some encouragement today, Carrie and I are here for you. 877-93-FAITH. 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. to my friend Meredith Andrews, and I love that song, Not for a Moment Will You Forsake Me. There's times and chapters in our lives where it maybe feels like God's forsaken us and he's looked the other way, he's taken his hands off our life, but he's always with us. And in this world, we do have trouble and trial, and it's the enemy's ploy and promise to try to get us tangled up in a knot. And God intends to untangle us. That's why I love the title of Carrie Scott's new book, Untangled, Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. And Carrie was telling this story before the break when she was a little girl, 4 years old, riding on her bike, tricycle, and this wretched man took her off her trike and he took her into an apartment and he molested her. And she didn't tell anybody for 8 years. And we're at that point of the story where we're looking back at how, as an adult, a young adult, as Carrie, as you started to process through what this meant for you and how this trauma impacted you. Tell me, if you would, what the healing process looked like for you and how God started to untangle some of those knots.
Well, I did not go to God for healing for a very long time. I mean, I would probably say my healing journey has been slow because I've been rebellious and stubborn, and I didn't trust God. I struggled trusting men after that. So to trust a heavenly father when you felt abandoned by him was really hard to do, but he kept pursuing my heart, and he kept putting me in situations and Bible studies and groups of women that loved me and encouraged me, and he kept pointing me towards him. And it got to the point, gosh, probably 5 years ago, maybe a little longer, where I just couldn't deny it any longer. And I started going through some counseling and realized how very angry I was at God, because I felt like he left me. He wasn't there to protect me. And that had been part of my rebellious streak. And to see how God has just been so gentle with me and so in such pursuit of me and my heart and my healing has been it has just ministered to my heart. And he continues to unfold things. He continues to reveal things in the right way, at the right time, and in his perfect way. You know, somebody else can say something to you or can bring something to your attention, but when God does it, it feels so safe. Mm-hmm. And I remember writing one day, and I started writing out, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Susie, because you're a writer too, but you're writing one way, and all of a sudden you start writing a different direction, and I wrote out the word shame, and I stopped, and I'm like, wait a minute, back up the bus. Are you telling me I have shame? And I had to look up the definition, and I got on my face on the carpet and sobbed before my father and said, I had no idea. So I think walking that out is so different for everybody, you know, this untangling process and how God reveals what it really is that's knotting us up.
Wow. What did you find to be the definition of shame, by the way?
Well, I kind of thought shame and guilt were the same thing, and since I wasn't a terrible guilt person, I didn't feel that a whole lot. I just kind of wrote it off. So I looked it up online, literally. I mean, it sounds silly. I'm, you know, in my late 40s, and I'm looking up a definition of shame, but it said this. It described it this way. You feel guilt for something that you've done, but you feel shame for who you are. And so as I found that definition, I mean, the revelation just flooded me. It just dripped all over me of all the places in my life where I was pretty sure I was not good. I had no goodness in me, that who I was wasn't okay or normal or lovable or acceptable. And it was this revelation. I'm still walking that one out. I'm still working through shame with God, and he just continues to reveal places, and I'm so grateful that it's him. And I'm so grateful that he takes the time to walk us through to healing, to this untangling.
Indeed. I just got to say, Carrie, I love who God has made you to be. I love the way you're walking out your gifts and telling your story, and I just celebrate. And I just think you're just begun to see how he's going to use you, and I pray you continue to get audacious and what you dare to ask him for. I just felt like I needed to say that. So
thank you.
Yes. Okay. And here's another situation that I just wanted to rise to your defense. I'm a little snarky that way. But anyway, you tell the story about a time when you wrote a blog post after the last presidential election, and your charge, which I've given this charge on the air as well, was to Christians that no matter who won, our call is to shine brightly in this world. And by the way, this is a biblical charge that you gave, but tell us what happened.
Well, the backlash was unfathomable. I had people unsubscribe to my blog. I had comments come in online and offline that just blew me away, and this anger that came out at me because of that. And I'm not sure what that sparked in people. I'm not sure why that was so offensive, but I lost a lot of subscribers and a lot of following, and it really, not only did it hurt my feelings, you know, you have to get thick skin when you're putting yourself out there, but it blew my mind because it was biblical.
So what were the lies that you believed, Carrie, when that happened, right initially? Because I know you sorted through it, but, I mean, that would be a jar to your system. So what rose up in you? What got triggered?
What business do you have putting your opinion out there? You're not relevant. No one cares what you have to say. You are incorrect. Once again, you need to toss in the towel because what you're doing isn't effective. I mean, name it. I mean, I got hit with all of them square in the face, and that's just, you know, that's just to name a few, but it damaged me. And sometimes people forget that there is a real heart on the other side
Indeed.
Of that screen
Indeed.
That's reading. And so that was difficult.
Well, one of my, maybe I might do this someday, but I don't know if I'm up for it, but is to write an article to Bible snobs and Christian bullies. Because I'm just saying, I just feel like when I talk to people day after day behind the scenes and I ask them what makes you tired, it's that contingent of our fellow believers who feel like they're doing the work of God by picking people apart publicly rather than praying for them privately. And it just gives me so much angst. But so initially, in the days that followed, because that was so jarring for you, you said you started to just write in the safe zone, because you, and that's a natural response, but we've got about 2 minutes before we have to take a break, but speak to that kind of reaction, to the response that you'd received.
Well, of course. I mean, when you get your hand slapped or your face slapped, you're going to step back and you're going to reevaluate. So I still wanted to speak because that's what God had put on my heart, but I decided I'm just going to write about things that are completely palatable. Nobody can, you know, can take offense to, nobody can get upset with. I'm just going to write safe things. It just did not feel right in my spirit, though, because I was born with a message to share, and I have a message that God wants me to put out to the world. And so I felt like I was not only doing, you know, my followers a disservice, anybody that was reading what I wrote, but I also was not being true to who God created me to be. And sometimes we have to do the tough things. We have to put it out there.
When you think about, too, the group think is the crowd is fickle. That's why Jesus would not entrust himself to man, because he knew it was in the heart of man. So there might have been a crowd gathering around him, but when he started to speak the truth, it kind of weeded down his followers. I would imagine those who actually did follow what you were reading and were mature, solid Christians were actually more affirmed by what you said, because you dared to take some kind of stand, than those who went away so flippantly, you know?
Yes, I completely agree, and I did see that. There were people that said, yes, I take that challenge, Carrie, because I'm not happy with how things are, and I am committed to love and respect and honor and continue to do what we're put on the earth to do, which is to shine the light of Jesus.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit more when we come back about what that means for you, what that means for me. Rather than trying to appease the crowd, how do we stand in a way of honor before Christ in this day and in this world where things seem to be imploding all around us? Also, I'd let you know, we've got a few copies of Carrie's book, Untangled, Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. If you need prayer today, if you're struggling, you can call anonymously, 877-933-2484. I see that anonymous call that came in. If you could hang on, our break is about 2 minutes long, so we'll be back in a moment. We'd love to stand with you. More with Carrie Scott in a moment. About that last line, I will rest in your embrace because my soul will rest in your embrace because I am yours and you are mine. That's the place that we have to find in and out of season, in the storm and in times of peace and favor. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of His Almighty." We've got to know how to access that place, right? I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Carrie Scott today about how to untangle the stuff that just knots us up, our insecurities, our fears, those things that trigger us and make us more self-aware than God-aware. Like I said, we've got a few copies of her book. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. And if we can pray with you, we'd love to do that as well. 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller checking in from St. Paul, Minnesota. Needs prayer today. Would love to stand with this friend. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi. Hi. Hi, Susie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi there. I was really prompted to call when Carrie started talking about her her formative years, because mine were similar. I was probably about the same age when I was molested by a family member, and I didn't tell my mom until I was probably almost 30. Unfortunately, at that point, it was largely dismissed. I don't know exactly why. I'm not going to pretend I know why, but
which is almost a double bind wound, isn't it? Because it's one thing to be traumatized and then to come out with it and feel like you're dismissed. I think it makes it so much worse. Anyway.
But anyhow, my situation now is my husband and I have been married for about 14 years, and I hope you can't hear all the screaming in the background there. it's my son. We have 4 children and 1 on the way, and 2 of our boys have autism. And it's so hard to get close to God right now because of just the dailiness of life. I mean, even right now, trying to call for prayer, I've got a small child knocking on the door.
Oh, honey. First of all, I'm going to have Carrie just speak to you, and then we're going to pray for you. And don't worry about the little one screaming in the background. If you can manage to, we're fine with that. So what do you say, Carrie?
I think one of the biggest lies that the enemy tells us is that it takes so much work to connect with God. And in reality, God says, "I'm right here." And so we believe this idea that we have to do all this work, or it's going to take all this time to connect in with your Father. And really what it takes, and it's courageous to just say, "Lord, I cannot do this anymore. I can't do this without you. I don't know how to find you. Lord, would you just come into my life? Would you just breathe your breath into my life? Bring me what it is that I need to navigate what I'm going through." And you know, we read this, and I think we have this idea that it's this cute idea, but I'm telling you, sweet friend, I'm actually seeing that walk out in my life. It's not this idea. It's I'm watching God come in and untangle me and bring peace and bring healing when I cry out to Him. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, with a screaming child, with in the middle of the night, just to say, just speak out loud, "Lord, I need you. Please invade my life. Bring me what it is I'm needing right now." And just to reach out and not believe that lie that says you have to do all these amazing things to connect in with your Creator.
Honey, can you hang for just a moment while Carrie and I pray for you?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Carrie, why don't you start?
Yes. Father God, I thank you so much for our friend here. And Lord, I know that your heart is so for her. And I know that you see every tear she cries and every situation she finds herself in, and that you want to be the one that she runs to. And Father, would you just remind her of that every time she comes up against a hard emotion, a difficult situation, a frustrating circumstance, that Father, you will remind her right then and there to cry out for you, and that Lord, you will show up the moment she does.
Mm. And Father, we lift her up to you, and I thank you, God, that you never look away. You never take your hand off of her. I pray you'd heal those deep, deep places that were traumatized as a child. I pray even that you would speak to the family members who maybe dismissed things, that they would have a deeper understanding and compassion, and that it would, you'd untangle them so they could handle this and not dismiss it, so that they could be catalysts to deeper healing for her. And I even pray for these children of hers, God, that you would heal and restore them and use them in mind-boggling ways. I pray a blessing on this marriage. I pray for this dear girl to find moments of peace in your presence, and instead of carrying all the years tomorrow and the days that follow, that she would have the grace to stay in this space and find your peace for this moment. And she, as she sees you intervene, as she sees you fight for her, Lord, we bless this dear sister. We thank you that you love her and you're not letting her go. I just ask you to do above and beyond all she could ever even dare to ask or imagine, because you love her and she loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, honey, we're going to send you a copy of Carrie's book, and we'll send you a couple other things that I think will encourage you as well, okay?
Thank you. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you for calling. Grace, if you could grab her address, we're going to get her a couple extra books as well. Wow, bless her. And there is so much hardship and so much pain out there. You know, Carrie, back to this idea when you were posting after the presidential election and just charging us as believers to no matter what be a light in the darkness, and how that just made people mad, which is, you know, I see it all the time. I was watching the news last night and thinking about how this world has literally gone mad. It's like we celebrate the wrong things. We overlook the sacred things. And then I think of how the scripture talks about the saints who've gone before us, Carrie, and it says that the world was not worthy of them. And I feel like we need to embrace a similar perspective. Like, we can't trust the world's ideas on what's valuable. We can't adopt their measurements of success. I feel like we have to, like, look for the sacred, make it our aim to live these faithful, fruitful lives, no matter which way the wind blows the crowd. And I want you to just speak to this, because I think it can especially be challenging for those who have upfront public ministries. But I think it's all the more important for us, because we're not after the crowd. We're not after so many followers, and we're just saturated in a culture like that. We have to stand for Christ. So I want you to just talk about not only, though, for those of us in these kinds of ministries, but all of us, that the gap would widen between how man affects us and how God affects us.
You know, the word says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Do not look to the left and do not look to the right, but keep your eyes on Jesus. And that is such sound wisdom, because the world is really loud and everything is being redefined, and all the boundaries we had are being pushed as a culture, as a society, as the world. And so if we do not keep our moral compass rooted in Jesus, and we look to the Bible as complete and whole and living truth, if we start looking to the left, looking out to the world for wisdom and discernment, we start looking to the right and looking out for values and morals, and we start to gauge who we are and how we live and what our family looks like and how we respond and what our ministries look like, if we are looking out into the world and trying to impress or find approval through them, we are going to miss it. And I am so with you. This world is crazy, and we don't have time to miss it. And we don't have room and space to water it down so that it's palatable to everyone. This is our time to rise up and be a light in this world. And Matthew 5:16 goes on to say, because what we do, our actions are going to point others to our Father in heaven who loves them. And that is the point of our existence. And we need to rise up and be bold, even though we're scared, even though we feel insecure, even though we are struggling in some other areas. When we bring Jesus into our mix and we ask him for the strength and the direction and the perseverance, we can do amazing things.
Amen, and preach it, sister. Wow.
I need a microphone.
You do, man. So good that you've got one right now. I love it. You know, you think about it, you know, Jesus said, if you follow me, people are going to hate you. And again, it's mind-boggling. I mean, he knew that would be true because it was true in his day. But you know, when you think about some of the most amazing people, definitely that I've ever met, are mature Christ-following people who've accomplished huge things but are nothing but humble, winsome, sacrificial, gentle, will defer to everybody else. And then you look at how God has used them, but you would never know it. I mean, how do you hate a person like that who gives half of their income to, you know, a homeless shelter or whatever? But he did say, you're going to be hated if you follow me. And so it would be just like the enemy to bait us into needing the crowd approval, when Jesus said this is the crowd is the very thing that will turn against you. And I think we're being shaken. I think we're being trained to stand so that we can stand in the integrity of the gospel and not in the hopes of man's approval. But it comes at a great cost, doesn't it?
It does. And it's so interesting you said shaken, because I have heard that from so many different ministry leaders, that they feel like we are in this shaking right now, where what we've known is not how it's going to be, and things are going to shake up. And the only thing we can land on is Jesus. That's it. And if we put our ministries, our families, our relationships, our marriage, our finances, our health, if we build it anywhere else in this great shaking, it's going to crumble. But if we place everything we have, all of our beliefs and our desires and our needs and our wants, if we place it on Jesus, he will show up. When we seek him, we will find him, and he will free us from our captivity. And that is a promise. I can take that one to the bank.
Indeed, indeed. Here's another excerpt from your book. You said, we all have that one particular tangle that knots us up, don't we? It could be weight, age, finances, parenting, marriage, health, friendship, the corporate ladder, or one of a million other things. We see how easy and effortless that one thing is for her or for him, and then we come undone. The tangle tightens as we feel inferior, worthless, and incompetent. We may be rock stars in every other part of life, but that one pesky, not good enough tangle totally knots us up. It has a way of overshadowing the truth of who we are and whispers, you'll never be worth anything. And here's the thing. Our weight, our age, our finances, parenting, these things matter to God and they can matter to us. But when they become the main thing, we lose sight of the very thing that Christ died for us, and we're enough in him. So I want you to maybe speak to that person who's tangled up in all of these things and help them figure out where to put their feet.
I want to say to that person, I completely understand what it's like to feel that insecurity, that not good enough, that I'll never measure up, not that she's better, he's better, they're better, whatever it might be. I go back to that same scripture I said a minute ago about keeping your eyes on Jesus, because he is where we find our identity and our worth. And the enemy wants you to look left, and he wants you to look right to try to define yourself and define your worth there, because the world's never going to love who you are. So as long as he can keep us looking left and right, we are going to lose. But if we can keep our eyes trained on Jesus, he is going to speak life into us, and he is going to remind us that we are valuable because we are his.
We are valuable because we are his. And she's talking about that passage, not looking to the left or the right. The rest of that proverb is, mark out a straight path for your feet. Take the ways that are safe. Safe meaning biblical, keeping your eyes on the prize. We've got one more segment with Carrie. If you've got questions, comments, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. And if you need prayer, we are here for you. 877-93-FAITH or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Carrie Scott in a moment. I want you to think about what it must have been like for Daniel in this foreign culture with a heart for God. It's like we're here. We're pilgrims. And a pilgrim is someone who's passing on, who's traveling through a land to go to a promised land. That's what we are. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So how do we live in this day in a world gone mad, where the values are upside down? And it seems that the way that the crowd goes left to right, I love you, I hate you. How do we find our footing, especially when we all have our own tangled up knots of insecurity and those trigger points that can trigger us into reacting to our stuff rather than responding to God's love? That's why we've got Carrie Scott back on the program to talk about how do you untangle those knots of insecurity. And this is for more than just so you don't have to feel bad. This is so you can find your footing and you can make the difference God has intended that he wanted to make through you from the beginning of time. Your influence matters, and you don't want to live your whole life living in reaction to your stuff. You want to live your life living in response to God and his promises, because you got stuff to do. All right? 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Com. Carrie, this listener writes in, named Lisa. She says, this session with Carrie is right on the money. I've been dealing with this and feeling this lately, and it was so reassuring and empowering to hear you two speak about this, and a reminder to hold fast to Jesus and stand true. Love your program. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that so much. I want you to talk about this one because I feel like this ties very much into our conversation. You got a line from your book that says, while the world is careless with your heart, God never is. First, talk about, break this up into two statements. While the world is careless with your heart, explain how that plays out in our everyday life. Some of that's obvious social media stuff, but talk about other ways we see the world being careless with our stuff and our heart and our story.
Gosh, just when you think you have the right style and the right furniture, you're at the right weight, you have the right hairstyle, it changes. And all of a sudden, you're not the in crowd. You're not loved and approved of. You're not accepted. You don't measure up. I mean, the world changes its mind all the time. So when we live in this rat race of trying to keep up and be who the world says we should be, we're going to find ourselves falling short because it changes its mind all the time. It's careless with our hearts. When we take our problems to the world, when we go out on social media and we put things out there because we really want someone to come and affirm us or encourage us, we don't get those responses. When we write blog posts that are supposed to encourage and get people excited to just walk out your faith after a presidential election that didn't go the way that you had thought it was going to go, they tear you down. I mean, when we put anything out into the world, we are basically giving them free rein to judge us, to score us, to decide if we are worth their time and attention. I mean, I see it everywhere I go. I feel it. I get hooked in the numbers of social media or how many blog comments I get or how many followers I just lost or whatever it might be because I'm expecting the world to take care of my heart, and they will never do that.
I'm expecting the world to take care of my heart. We do that. I remember when my boys were young, they're grown and they're 20s right now, but when he was in middle school, and he'd like this one artist, and she was a singer, and he liked her songs, and then on a dime, it was very short order, I mentioned something about a song that she'd sang. He goes, oh, I don't like her anymore. And I said, tell me why. And he said, well, because everybody says that they don't like her anymore. And I said, oh, wow. And that's when I started to see an acceleration, and it was all those years ago, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, where it was like, so the group thinks, so the crowd says, okay, she's not in anymore, so none of us like her. So you're not thinking for yourself. You don't have a legitimate reason saying, you know, her songs have taken a turn that it just, you know what I mean? You don't have an intelligent answer as to why your tastes have changed because it's the group think. It's the bandwagon mentality. And honestly, I think there's so much marketing behind that, Carrie, truly, where it's like, this is what's popular. Now this is what's popular. It's schizophrenic, and it keeps people spending money, trying to stay in. But you think we're all taking the bait if we think you're going to measure what my tastes are supposed to look like. You know, can't I just have my own tastes? Wear what I like? I mean, I think if we were to step back and see really what's behind this group think, we would feel like fools for being a part of it, you know?
I get so mad at myself that I even care what the world thinks. maybe 12 years ago, I stopped taking People magazine. Nothing against People magazine, and if you read it, I'm not saying anything negative about you. But for me, I would look at People magazine, and I realized I started being more concerned with what was happening to Brangelina than what was happening in my own family, what was happening in my own heart. And I started being so concerned with what was cool in the world and important in the world. And so I had to stop taking all sorts of magazines. I had to stop visiting certain websites that gave me the update on all of Hollywood. I had to stop, you know, subscribing to different magazines and websites where I got the latest fashion because I found myself so much more concerned about the materialistic materialism of the world and the marriages and family situations of people that I don't even know. That to me was death. And so I have made a conscious effort to really focus in and say, God, what do you want here? I really would love a new sofa, but God, what do you want me to do with the extra money? What do you want me to do when I write this next blog? Where are you in this, Lord, and what do you want from me. I want to make you happy. I want to follow you, not the world.
Amen. And I think in doing that in the days to come, Carrie, it's going to be more costly. We're going to stand alone. But we have a short time on earth, and then we'll give an account. And how much of what we do is for the crowd and not for God? Because that will burn up. I mean, what will survive is those things prompted by our faith, our hope, and our love for God. And if we can step back and think long, I think it would change our motivation for what we do. Boy, there's more, there's something that's worth more than the applause of the crowd, and it's the praise of God, you know. Paula's calling in from Champlain, and she's got a question for you today. Paula, thanks. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. I'll be brief. I know you got only so much time, but
that's
you guys,
right.
What you're speaking is just incredible to me today, especially that Jeremiah verse right from the beginning. Because I've talked to you before. My daddy died over a year and a half ago. And I grew up in a really dysfunctional family, you know, foster home. And, you know, so all my siblings we're all spread apart and everything. And this is the thing, trying to untangle family members, you know, showing the love of Jesus to them and still guarding your own heart, and that's not working. And at a difficult time so now this whole family, even the step-family part of it, is completely separated. And I still try, and I keep trying, to almost to an unhealthy point for me. And when Daddy died, after he died, I couldn't even pray. It was just, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And I'm still kind of stuck in this hole, and I'm like, where is the victory? I want to be able to go. I feel like I'm missing out on what he has for me to do, whether it's with my siblings or whatever. I'm really just, you know, and it takes time to go through the grief process. I realize that. But I think for me, the biggest thing is how do you go show the love of Jesus and then still guard your own heart from people who can be so toxic? I think we are at a time where we are truly being shaken, and you really do have to seek him with all of your heart.
You know, Paula, I hold right there just because we have to be praying in about a minute and a half, so I want to make sure Carrie has a chance to respond to you. But my first thought, Paula, is when it becomes an ought to and a should do, you've heard me say this probably before, it's not time to do it. Because the get to is the invitation, and you are grieving. So I feel like give yourself some time to heal, and then say, Lord, you know, bid me come. Invite me to show the love to these family members. But wait on him, and I think he will give you compassion and love rather than going because you feel like you ought to and should do, which can be noble. But I feel like that can be a trap of the enemy to trip you up while you're still feeling pretty raw from this loss. But Carrie, what do you want to say to Paula?
I think we have to be careful and ask God for the grace to handle a situation. So many times I've seen God lift grace in a situation for me. If I'm enabling, or if I'm falling into a trap where I just keep trying and trying, it's so important that we say, God, I either need you to give me grace for this, give me the ability to function in it healthy with boundaries, or I need you to close the door until I'm healed up enough, untangled enough to step out and be life and mm-hmm. speak life instead of letting it, you know, slowly kill me in the process.
Well, thank you, Paula, for calling. You're going to get a copy of Carrie's book, and here we are. And Hannah, I'm so sorry calling in from Sioux Falls. We don't have time for her question. But from what I understand, it's about being, how do you get untangled when you were invalidated as a child? So I'm going to have you pray for Hannah, even though she wasn't able to get on. And for those listening who, like Hannah, still struggle with that those triggers and those knots, you know, are triggered so easily because they're not resolved. And God wants to heal you so he can use you even in greater ways. And I wonder if you, Carrie, would pray for Hannah.
Yes, Lord, I do pray for Hannah. I pray for every other listener out there that is just feeling broken and unheard, unseen, not validated, not approved of, not accepted. Father God, you see each of our hearts because you created them. And I pray, Father, that you would speak in profound ways to these women, to these men, remind them that they are valuable because they are yours. And Father God, I pray that however it is that they hear your voice and feel your presence, Lord, that you would meet them right now, and that you would provide the comfort that they need and the perspective that they need, and just remind them that that there is nothing for them in this world, Father, that everything points back to Jesus. And Lord, when we need you, we just cry out, Jesus, help me. Father God, help me, and you will come and help us. And I thank you for that promise, and I pray that promise over my friend. hands. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you, Hannah. And I pray, Paula, that you heard that as well. That was for you as well. Carrie, always good to talk with you. Thank you for such a powerful time today.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
Title of her book is Untangled, Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. You've been listening to Hour 1 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find the podcast of this conversation up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary, if you would. If you know someone who needs to hear this conversation, you want to see them untangle from those knots of insecurity, with a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Coming up, I'll be talking to Jerry Trousdale about kingdom passion versus self-ambition, and how do we unite together as Christians for the greater purpose of the gospel. Great conversation coming up. Hour 2 is up next.